First John that we've been working through the last couple of weeks. And so I'll be beginning with chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he is revealed, we may have confidence and not be put to shame before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right has been born of him. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. So the last couple of weeks, I wrote it down on a post-it note because I know I should memorize these things, but true story, I can't memorize hardly anything, so I write it down. We talked about sin, and then we started talking about the three tests, the test of righteousness, the test of love, and the test of truth. And today we get to the part where we doubt those tests. And so I made a little list of doubts that I've had over the years. I just kind of opened my brain and wrote down whatever came first. Can I ride a bike without my training wheels? That was a true question. Am I smart enough to get into college? Will they let me into seminary? Will everyone see my flaws and realize I'm not who they wanted? Will I be able to pray okay? What if I discerned wrong? What if I really was supposed to be that corporate lawyer? Will I be a good mom? Questions like these and doubts like these, especially the one about being a mom, have me praying and crying at the same time for my children because I doubt my ability to be there for them. My doubts can run deep, so deep sometimes that I find that I am physically or emotionally, sometimes both, taking myself out of the situation, because what if my doubt turns to be true? Doubt does that, doesn't it? Doubt whispers in our ear, and doubt says things to us that it's safer to divest and to push away than it is to invest and to step in. So what happens when we doubt God? What happens when we read the scriptures and we see the world and they don't reconcile in the same picture? What happens when we start to back away and wonder if there really is a God? God, are you real? What happens when you are in the comfort of the forest and you have all the shade and you have all the protection, and then you open your eyes and realize that no, you're actually in the middle of a barren field and there's no cover? Sometimes doubt can feel like that too. Spiritually, we can find ourselves in the wilderness all the time. Sometimes we can be on that strong footing. We feel really good up until the point something happens. Up until the point there's an illness, an unwanted transition, or maybe even a loss. We've begun to step away already, and with these transitions and the losses, we continue to push so far back that we're a little lost. We search for the stability that we ache for, right? And so sometimes we even test God. We'll say things like, God, if you are real, you will heal him. God, if you are real, they won't split up. God, if you are real, show me a sign. And we push away even more. We push away, but the hurt stays, doesn't it? The hurt stays right there with us, even though we push away, even though we're divesting from the place that we think hurts us even more. We ache for that stability and that sure footing. But the further we push, the more unstable the footing becomes. And this is human. This is who we are. This is part of having emotions and life and living in community. And so John addresses it in his letter because he knows that doubt is a reality. And that in doubt, there's some danger. And so he calls his students little children. He calls to them because he knows that when you are new in the faith and when you are learning and when you are struggling and when you're in this daily living and the world is around you, you wonder where Jesus might fit in. And so John is reminding them, you don't try to figure out where Jesus fits into you. Jesus is already there. John says, abide in him and know your Lord in a way that gives you the confidence, not only that you need, but the confidence that you want. Remain with him, tarry with him, last with him. Continue to be present with him. And abiding is more than sit nicely with your sister. Abiding is this deep dwelling presence. It's this deep intertwining that mixes and mingles. And it's wrapped around you like a warm hug or a blanket. It's not something you can just separate yourself from in an instant. And God reminds them that they, as we, are children of God. Not because I said, hey, I'm going to be a child of God today. But because God called us many, 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 many moons ago and said, you are indeed my children. And I invite you to be part of my family. And that's why we have baptism. Baptism is a sign and seal of that covenant that God makes with us. I claim you as mine. I wash you clean as mine. I love you as mine. And then John reminds them that their deepest prayers will be answered. Truth, it's not going to be the prayer I had at 15 and three-fourths of, I would like a 1991 blue Audi. I got a very old spray-painted Terminex truck. The prayer was for this fancy car so I could be fancy, and my parents' prayer was, please let us be able to afford just to give her something so we don't have to run errands anymore. So that's not the prayer that John is talking about. God is there because God hears our prayers for healing, for reconciliation, for forgiveness, for grace, for mercy. Prayer is much bigger than which car we want. John highlights that God's love and wisdom precedes our own. That we are disciples, we are learning, we are growing. And we do these things so that we can fully receive the blessings that God has for us and know that they are there. And our confidence with God isn't because of our abilities or because of our strengths, but because of our openness to realize that God's abiding love has been there all along. Our perfection is not what's necessary for this abiding love. It's God's Holy Spirit that is perfect and present in our strongest and in our doubts as well. It's been about 12 years since my roommate and friend died. Her name is Catherine. She was hilarious and she was fun, and we were connected through our parents and churches, and we couldn't believe we hadn't been friends before. But the thing that nobody knew about Catherine that I knew and a handful of people knew is that she battled a lot of demons. And at some point, the demons got louder than we were. And she began to estrange herself. She moved away from her friends. She moved away from her parents. She left her husband. And we feared for her. We wanted to be there with her, and sometimes she would allow us to be there in little pockets of time. And so in the days and weeks after she died, we had these conversations that were hard. They were so hard. And sometimes people thought maybe I would have the answers, and I was hoping they would have the answers. Like, they were hard because we wanted to know why the doctors couldn't help her feel better and why hadn't God heard our prayers. We wanted to know why we couldn't be the friends that held the mat that got her to Jesus through the roof. These were big questions. And I found myself needing solid ground, and so I asked everybody for solid ground. Like, I need some help here. And the word that kept bubbling up and was bubbling up in the scripture today was abide. For abiding love, God's grace and mercy, was the thing that I laid upon. I actually visualized the word and laid on it. Have you ever done that? Nope, just me. You should try it. You should pick a word that is assuring to you, that is loving for you, that is hopeful for you. And in the moments when you can't find your own footing, lay on God's word, because there's security there. And in the midst of the season where people tossed out more harmful theology than you could put in one book, it was out of love. They wanted us to feel better. They wanted to answer questions for us. But the theology wasn't there. It wasn't sturdy. But God's abiding word was. God's abiding hope was. God's abiding love was. And so we abided with God. And when we ask questions like, where was God when she was so upset? God abided with her. God was with her. Where was God when we wrestled with these questions about the mental health system? God was with us, abiding with us as we asked these hard questions. When we had to talk to her parents and we had to plan these funerals, there were more than one. God abided with us in these hard conversations. Where was God in the brokenness? I truly believe that God was in the same puddle that I was, weeping and loving me. God's abiding love ended up being that strength that strengthened those of us who allowed God to be part of who we were. Our grieving was hard. I'm not going to say that this made it easier, but when you let God in and when God is abiding with you, grieving is not lonely anymore. We didn't get our questions answered. We didn't. But we had a sense of peace that we didn't have before. And when we look at John's declarative statements in the reading today, it's there. That abiding love isn't the only word. There's this truth of God's call for us to lean into doubt. Can you imagine the scripture saying, lean into doubt? I know that some people say in the world that when we doubt God, that we are not fully Christian, but that's not true at all. When we doubt God, when we ask the questions, God says, lean into the questions. Because as you ask your questions, I'm going to be right here with you. And so you lean into the doubt instead of pushing away in the big stuff, but also the day-to-day questions. Abide in him. You shall see him. You shall be like him. You shall be called a child of God. God abides in you. Love one another. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ and have confidence, for Christ abides in you always. In confirmation, we ask these questions, these and a couple of more, and they're hard questions. And we don't ask them to answer them all the time. We just ask them to ponder and pray over them. Do you trust God? Why? Why not? Can you always depend on God? Why is it important to trust that God is gracious and merciful? And we could tell them the answer to these questions, but you know who does it better? The Bible. And so we invite them to open up their Bibles and to read stories about Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses, Rahab, Joseph. Who is your Lord and Savior? Think about the people in the Bible who needed to be saved in some way. There's a famous one, I won't sing the song, but he climbed a tree, right? Because he knew he needed something bigger than he was. And so he climbed a tree so that he could get the word. So he could see Jesus teach. And before he knew it, all of a sudden he was having a dinner party. What does it mean to be a student of Jesus? Does it mean perfection? No. I had a young man ask me once on a bus. It was a school field trip. And he said, I think I want to be baptized. I said, have you been baptized? No, I haven't been baptized. Why not? Well, I haven't learned everything yet. Oh, no, you don't wait till you know everything to get baptized. You get baptized because you want to learn more. Why don't you go and tell Pastor you want to get baptized? Because we are still learning. We are still growing. There's so much more for us. And so it doesn't mean our perfection. Does it mean we lean into the doubt without questions? No. Can you have doubt and confidence at the same time? Yeah, you can walk into a room and have no idea what's going to happen next, but be fully confident that you're able to do what you're supposed to do. You can have the confidence that strengthens you, that helps you stand tall and have questions all the time. Because you're abiding with God. When we walk through life and we have God's abiding love with us and God's abiding grace with us and God's abiding mercy with us, how can we not walk with assurance? I go back to these questions at the beginning, questions of proof. God, if you were real, if you are real, will you heal him? Oh, I'm going to heal him. My healing, unfortunately, can't stop the process of what the body is doing, but I'm going to make him whole. He will sit at my banquet table and will be made whole through me. I abide with him as I do in you. If you are real, they won't split up. I'm sure this is hard. I wish I could save this marriage. But you know what? I'm with them and I am with you. If you seek comfort in me, I will be there. It's going to be a bumpy road. This will hurt and it will be sad. But know that you are loved and that you are my child. If you are real, show yourself to me. Oh, did you not open your eyes this morning? What did you see? Did you see the trees? Did you see the flowers? Did you see the daffodils that are popping up the wrong time of year? Did you see the blue sky? Have you seen a rainbow? By the way, did you look into your friend's eyes and know that they care for you very deeply? Oh, I reveal myself to you all the time. I'm right here with you. Don't worry about asking for proof because I am here always. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.